I'm Lorraine Ballard Morrill. I'm not sure exactly how many years ago, but at some point, these two folks reached out to me, Jan Eisner and Andy Steinfeld, about this disease called neuroendocrine tumor, otherwise known as NET. And I had no idea. I'd never heard of it. But since then, I've learned so much about it. And joining us in the studio are some folks who are going to tell us even more about it and also about a very special race that's coming up and some other events that are helping to raise awareness and funds. Joining us is Lori Canzanese, Vice President, Run for the Stripes, Inc., and also Run for the Stripes Race Director, and Andy Steinfeld, Co-Race Director. Thank you both for joining us here today. Well, Lori, I'm going to start with you. First of all, tell us what NET is.
Sure. Thank you for the question. So neuroendocrine tumor is a rare disease. It is a cancer type that forms from the endocrine system. So you can have a primary tumor pretty much anywhere throughout your body. The most common places are in the lungs or in the GI tract, in the small bowel, in the large bowel, or in the pancreas.
It is often described or characterized as pancreatic cancer. We've seen two very high-profile individuals who succumbed to the disease, but they were described as having pancreatic cancer, but they actually had neuroendocrine tumor, correct?
That is correct. So it is misreported in the news, unfortunately, as pancreatic cancer when somebody high-profile like Steve Jobs or Aretha Franklin, unfortunately, both passed away from the disease. However, neuroendocrine tumor is not pancreatic cancer. It's a different form of cancer where the primary is in the pancreas. However, it spreads throughout the body as well.
Right. Okay. We're going to get back to you in just a second, Lori, but nice to see you, Andy.
Nice to see you again, as always.
We have to talk about Jan Eisner. Because Jan, you're very, very, very good friend. You guys were running buddies, right?
We were. We ran for about 15 years. We actually accomplished 10 marathons together and probably have run close to 5,000 miles together.
That is amazing. And Jan was a tremendous runner and also someone who was at that time living with NET. And she passed away, but she left a great legacy. And I wonder if you can talk about what her legacy is.
She would come to this conference in Penn Hospital for NET patients. And during one of the conferences, she had an idea that, you know, I really want to do something. And she loved running. So the natural idea was to come up with a 5K. The zebra is the mascot, so it all made sense to have this 5K at the zoo. She told me that was her idea. What did I think? And I said, that sounds great. I'm in. Let's figure out what we need to do. I don't think she ever entailed what this has turned out to be. The mission was to raise awareness, build community, and fund for research. Our first year, we had maybe 275 participants. And we raised, you know, just under $10,000. Over the course of the 8 years, you know, our last race, we actually had 983 participants, which was just amazing. Over the course of since this has started, we've raised $285,000. That goes directly towards research at Penn, the Abramson Center. One thing we're both very proud of, and it was part of her original mission, was it's all volunteer-based. So 100% of every donation dollar goes directly to the Abramson Center for NET Research.
Yeah. And Jan ran, despite sometimes being quite ill, she never gave up.
Her mantra was, if it's on the calendar, it has to happen. So I just made sure I kept on putting races on the calendar. And I said, but it's on the calendar. She goes, okay, I'll get myself together. And somehow, race after race, marathon after marathon, we pulled it off. She presented me with one of the funniest lines I've ever heard in a marathon. We were down at the Richmond Marathon, and we're in the mile 22. And she looks at me, and she goes, normally, when I'm in this much pain, I'm in the hospital getting narcotics. But she wasn't going to stop no matter what. So.
Yeah, she was incredible.
Absolutely. And to keep Jan's spirit alive, last year we decided to create the Jan Eisner Spirit Award that we give to one participant of the race each year that embodies Jan's spirit, Jan's drive, and Jan's determination. And unbeknownst to Andy, he most fittingly was our first recipient of the Jan Eisner Spirit Award. So we will continue to do that every year to keep Jan's spirit and Jan's legacy alive, because she, in combination with Andy, really was the driving force behind creating the race. And as Andy said, nowhere in her wildest dreams would she imagine the impact that she's having and will continue to have in many years to come.
The zebra is your mascot. Tell us why.
In medical school, residents and students that are becoming doctors, when they are learning how to diagnose an illness, are taught that the symptoms typically will lead you towards that diagnosis. So what looks like a horse and sounds like a horse is typically a horse. In the case of NET, unfortunately, NET is very frequently misdiagnosed and can be misdiagnosed for a number of years because there's a wide variety of symptoms that can present themselves that don't directly lead to a neuroendocrine tumor diagnosis. And there also are many doctors out there who aren't as familiar with neuroendocrine tumors, so it's more difficult to diagnose. So what we say is, you know, we look like a horse and may sound like a horse, but it's not. It's a zebra. And so that's where the zebra stripe comes from, is really making sure that you understand the actual specimen that you're dealing with and don't just look at the symptoms.
And how is neuroendocrine tumor impacting your life?
I was diagnosed with neuroendocrine tumor on November 4th, 2015. Impact is probably a mild statement at that point. I was 43 years old, working full time, married, two children, living life to its fullest. And then I was hit with this cancer diagnosis. Now I've gone through two debulking surgeries. I just had a most recent surgery in March to once again debulk the tumor load that I have in my body. And I like to say, you know, 95% of the time I feel great. I am back to working full time. You know, my husband, my children, you know, I have two very active teenage kids. And so I would look like your typical mom and cheerleader from the sidelines of all the sporting events. It's always there as an undercurrent, I will say. I do get shots every 4 weeks to suppress tumor growth, which helps. And so that may be that 2 or 3% of the time where I may be a little bit tired or feel a little bit nauseous. And then within 24 to 48 hours, I'm back to life. So it's really through my faith, my family and my friends that continue to support me and continue to hold me up. I think we all have struggles in our lives. And the biggest message that I would have is that, you know, by looking at someone, you never know what their struggle may be, whether it be a physical illness or a mental illness. And so just choose kind. Yeah. Choose to be kind, because you don't know what people are struggling with. One of my favorite lines is like, I may look okay on the outside, but my insides are a mess. But that's okay, because we just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I think as much as we can raise awareness and raise funds and really feel like that I am personally helping this community to make a difference for future patients, that's what keeps me invigorated and motivated.
I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the actual race. It's happening, Andy, on the 7th of November?
It's November 9th.
November 9th. I was close.
Yes.
Don't come the 7th, because it won't be happening.
But there's a significance to the date, which is it's always the closest Saturday to NET Awareness Day. Mm. And that was one of also Jan's goals, that it was always near NET Awareness Day to bring as much awareness to it as possible.
Right.
It's $30 for the 5K. Children that are 13 and under, it's $20. There's also the big difference we made is we added a 1 mile family walk, and that is $20. But we almost get a 50-50 split between 5K runners and the family walkers, because they are there usually as a team to support someone with NET or to remember someone who passed away from NET. I know there's one team that comes every year as their reunion in memory of a loved family member. That's really touching to see. And some of these teams will make their own T-shirts and designs.
There's a lot of zebra themes happening. It's very cute.
And some creative costumes.
Definitely.
It's great to see. We also have something called a virtual race, which is people that want to partake, but they just can't make it to Philadelphia that day. In fact, last year we had 16 states represented and one participant from Canada. And the participant from Canada was a very good friend of Jan, and she represented NET up in Canada, wore her shirt. And some people try to run it that day, or they can pick any day they choose, any distance, and we'll send them a T-shirt before the 9th so they can wear it. And we get pictures. It's really nice. One other thing that happened this year that's never happened before, we actually had someone register at midnight when registration opened.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I asked, I said, I'm glad you're excited about your event, but what triggered this? And she said she was diagnosed with NET in early 2019, and she was searching for information and came across our race. And this is what she wrote to me. I noticed that there was a race November 19th. I waited until 11 p.m. here and clicked on the link to register for the virtual walk and signed both my mom and I up. I'm looking forward to walking around my block to help raise awareness for cancer. So
that is great.
She's from New Orleans. So.
Wow, that is very
cool.
So
hopefully we'll get more state coverage this year and some international.
Not only do you get to run in this very fun race, but once you're done, and especially since it's such a family-focused thing, there's a little added benefit, right, Andy?
Yes, your registration allows you to spend the whole day at the zoo. So if there's any animals you saw on your run or walk that you want to go back and see, you're more than welcome to spend the day.
Yeah, and the zoo is just making so many new improvements in their physical plant. It's so much fun to go there. So another plus. That is great. And Lori, I understand there's also another event that's helping to raise money and awareness.
Absolutely. So as Andy mentioned, really the tenets and principles of our Run for the Stripes nonprofit are to raise awareness for NET, to raise funds and donations that go to the Penn Neuroendocrine Tumor Program. And then the third is to create a community for patients and caregivers. And I was a big participant in the race before I became a director, co-director with Andy. And I knew that that on race day, I was there with my family, with my friends who were there to support me. But I feel like there was more that we could do to enable patients and caregivers to really be able to connect and identify each other. So I'm happy to say that we've created the Run for the Stripes warm-up, which is a happy hour event we'll be holding on Friday, November 8th at Bernie's in University City. And for $20 from 6 to 8, patients and caregivers can sign up and come in a relaxed setting, enjoy some great food and drinks, and really make connections and share with other patients and with other caregivers. It can be an isolating disease because it's so rare. And I think the warm-up will give people the opportunity to make a connection. It's a thought that I had in the back of my mind. And I will say I am a member of a couple of social media groups related to neuroendocrine cancer. And in one in particular, I was sharing some messages back and forth with another patient and his wife. And then my husband and I, in January of this year, flew out to see another nationally recognized surgeon in neuroendocrine tumor in Denver, Colorado. And we were sitting in the waiting room, and I said to my husband, I think that's the friend on social media that I had been conversing with that was sitting there in the waiting room.
Wow.
And I will share with you that, you know, through means we were able to talk and connect there in the waiting room. And just that 10-minute conversation, they live in Maryland, I live in Pennsylvania, and it was in Colorado that we met. I think was such a meaningful connection for both of us, and to be able to talk to another patient and another caregiver and to share experiences really motivated me to create this warm-up in an environment where we can make more meaningful connections and create that environment. So I would encourage folks to look for the Run for the Stripes warm-up as well, because that's another avenue where patients and caregivers can come together to support one another.
That is great. And recently, for some odd reason, I've been doing interviews with individuals who've been supporting rare diseases. There is a man who wrote a wonderful book. His name is David Feigenbaum, and he is wrote a book about his search for the cure for Castleman's disease. And it's been getting a tremendous amount of publicity. And I think what it does, though, is it really focuses on the fact that there are these diseases that affect a relatively small group of people, and yet there's so much in common. The fact that it's often difficult to diagnose these rare diseases, and they're often kind of orphan diseases, that there are so many, there's not a lot of incentive for the kind of research that's necessary to be put into finding a cure. But it seems like all these rare disease folks in the different categories are talking to each other, which is really great, because someone's breakthrough in one disease might actually have an impact on another. So we're hoping that there is some kind of critical mass that is created by all the great work that all of you are doing. And Andy, once again, if people would like to register for the Run for the Cure, the race for NET, that's coming up on November 9th, and it's at the Philadelphia Zoo?
It's at the Philadelphia Zoo, and the link is, if they go to www.raceforNET.com, runrun.com, there will be a button there that will take you to the registration site. Or if they go to Run Sign Up and search for Run for the Stripes or Run for the Stripes Warm Up, they will see both events and they can sign up right then and there.
That is great. Well, it's great to see you both again. Always a pleasure, Andy. I know you travel from a little bit of a distance, right?
Yes, but it's so worth it to come up.
Well, we're happy to have you both. This is a very wonderful and fun race. I ran it and I had so much fun. Plus, you know, you go through the zoo and it's kind of brisk and it's perfect, usually perfect running weather. And I just had such a great time doing it. And also because I was so inspired by Jan Eisner, who's founded this, and Andy, you as well. Just your friendship and your devotion was truly, truly remarkable. And so, Lori, Kanzanese, taking up the mantle and pushing it forward to the next level. I want to thank you both for joining us. Lori Kanzanese, Vice President, Run for the Stripes, and the Run for the Stripes Race Director, Andy Steinfeld, who is co-race director. Thank you both for joining us today. Again, Run for the Stripes is happening on November 9th. The excitement is building, and it's happening, and you should check it out. It is a lot of fun. If you're just a person who loves to run, it's a fun run. And of course, if you're someone for whom this impacts you, well, this is the place to be for a community and to support a cure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Lorraine Ballard-Morrill.